hi, Bri Bri.
Thank you, Zoom lady.
Got it.
I always like to thank the Zoom lady. And hey. I don't want you to call me Bri Bri. So.
Well, just Bri Bri, say hi.
Welcome back, Underground.
Now, see, Laura, we're trying to introduce ourselves more often on this podcast because we get feedback about that. So I'm Corey. This is Bri Bri. And
real, dude.
It's going to stick. And we are here today with our friend Laura Council. What's up, Laura?
What's going on? Nice to see you guys today.
Yes, ma'am. Well, hey, we kind of like to do these random spotlight episodes in our podcast world, mostly because real people like yourself just tell better stories. We get to like see real stories as opposed to Brian and I just making up stuff. And so, yeah, we get to sprinkle these in every once in a while. And Laura, I just love your story and love what God has done and is just in some ways just beginning to do in this fun network with some single mamas in the city. But before we get too far into that, just who are you, Laura? Tell us a little about your story. How are you here? How did Jesus grab you? Yada, yada, yada.
Oh man, whole life story in a very little short synopsis. I am actually a Southwest Kansas farm girl. My hometown is Dodge City. Lived there until about 15 years ago when I came up here. I was raised in a Christian home. We were church attenders on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, and so I definitely had it modeled. My family is wonderful, but we were kind of the checklist Christians, you know, show up here, show up there, tithe, do the things. And I just have really always wanted a more spiritual relationship. And so I've just kind of been pursuing that as a grown up, you know, as I've gotten older. But again, my family was wonderful. I was baptized at church camp. I think I was around 10 years old. Yes, yes. I am now a fourth grade teacher. I have been teaching for, I lose track of years. I think it's about 19 years now. I've been in the Kansas City area teaching for about 15 years. So
good. Yeah, we see that. We see the background, the nice fourth grade classroom background. Yeah. And even though this is a podcast, even though this is a podcast, we get to see it and it makes it better.
Yeah. Well, thank you also just for what you're doing in the public school system. It matters.
Thank you. It's been a tough couple of years. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, speaking of a couple of years, so I feel like I first met you, Laura, about probably a year and a half. I lose track. It was pre-pandemic, and we're hanging out at an equipping gathering, and you're like, we have. Cora,
what is an equipping gathering?
That's a great question, Brian. I'm sorry. Equipping gatherings is one of the things that we do in Underground to equip our everyday missionaries to live like missionaries, plant the gospel. So it's not really a church service, but more of like a training, like a consistent kind of culture of training. And really when the pandemic hit, we did a lot of, we went online for the most part, which has been pretty solid, but this was pre-pandemic. So I got to, you know, sit next to Laura and as a real human, to another real human, and just talking about the things that really gets you like excited in ministry and where you feel like kind of just sitting in that place of like, man, where's God calling me? Right. Like, I just remember that conversation and started talking about a little bit about single moms. And so I got two questions with that. Number one is just like, what led you originally to want to be a part of Kansas City Underground? Like, how did you find yourself running with a bunch of weirdos in Kansas City?
Well, interestingly enough, I had been attending a church for a long time, and it happened to be the church where Rob Wagner was on the pastoral staff. And then he kind of disappeared, and I was kind of intrigued about where he went. And so I did some research and I found out about Casey Underground. And so honestly, Rob is kind of why I ended up where I am. And I was intrigued by how it was different. Not burned by organized religion, but kind of just looking for a different way to do it, to to feel more connected to the people that are in my life and around me, and to maybe feel like I was making more of an impact. And so that is kind of how I got there. And at first I wasn't so sure that I was equipped. I like that you were just using that word to do this, because I'm like, well, I'm just the average person. And I have fairly quickly learned that we're the people that God uses in our context all the time. So,
And by the way, so that everyone can know, Laura gave the finger quotes around equipped.
So, I'm not sure she feels confident that we're equipped to be equipping her.
Hey, we're all learning as we go, aren't we?
Amen. Okay, so you found your way to the underground circles because you were angry at the church, but just there was like a little bit of a hunger, like a longing for maybe something beyond it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I didn't feel like I was serving in the ways that I was probably intended to. And, you know, I volunteered in some capacities and things, but it didn't feel like it was as meaningful as it could have been, you know? And so I was just kind of wanted to figure out what this was all about and see if it was something that would help me kind of step out of my comfort zone, which it definitely has, and see if I could really get out there.
Yeah.
And do something. So.
And that's so cool to hear too, because we have probably, I think, a bit of a reputation, or assumptions are made, like, you know, based on the way that we talk on a podcast or in different settings, like, you know, like Corey, you're using that language of you were burned by the church or you were hurt or whatever. It's like, no, it's just trying new things, right? Like we feel as the sent people of God owning that identity. And I think, you know, everybody has a certain amount probably of something about their model or their form of church that they experience probably, I don't know, maybe it hurt you, maybe it didn't, maybe whatever, but like it was just for most of us, we're not like mad at anything. We're just trying to pursue something that we feel this deep sense of God is, I know that there's more of you that I haven't had access to yet. And I feel like that's part of what we're trying to create with the underground is like, you know, well, probably because it was centralized and you were not allowed to express your gifts, right? We need you to serve in this capacity.
Right.
We hope it's fulfilling to you. But if not, there's two or three other options you might be able to choose. But if not, good luck, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is almost a good segue because when, you know, what really made me kind of step out of my very traditional church that I grew up in was once I did become pregnant with my daughter, which is kind of leads into the single mom thing, but kind of ostracized, not very welcome, got a lot of looks like, you know, she's the black sheep, you know, and so it was a very, you know, very old church, super traditional. And so that kind of made me shift my gears too. Away from church as a whole, but just looking for something that was really modeling Jesus's principles of all people are welcome and loved, because that was something that I didn't really feel at that point, you know?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So going back in time here again, okay, a couple years ago, sitting in that little small group breakout and just kind of like, so who are people that you, I forget even the question that I asked, you know, like people that you feel really drawn to, or, you know, and you, I remember this conversation. I've had a lot of conversations like this. I remember this one specifically because you were so quickly, you said, I've always wanted to do something with single moms. And it was like clear that it was like on your heart and your mind, clear that this was not just a new revelation that you were suddenly making. Right. And so you obviously you've alluded to it some, but tell us, like, why do you have such a heart for single moms?
Well, my daughter Taryn is now 23 years old, so she's pretty much raised, but I got pregnant with her at a very young age. I was 19 when I had her. And I just know the struggles of being a single mom and, you know, all the hardships that go with that. And, you know, my parents did what they could, but I didn't have a lot of support. And there were not a lot of options and, you know, things for single moms. And so that's kind of where my heart is that I want for moms to feel supported and loved and to have some direction for, you know, spiritual questions and things like that. And you know, sometimes just to find ways to meet their basic needs, because sometimes those things aren't even taken care of. Mm. And so that kind of led me to the single mom KC. So Corey, I'll back up to that conversation that, yeah. you know, I had been, you know, working with the, or equipping with the underground for quite a while. And like, I knew my heart was with single moms, but I didn't know what to do with that, you yeah. know? And so I had prayed and prayed for almost a year probably. And then all of a sudden Corey comes into this conversation and he goes, well, I know this lady that I might be able to connect you with. And that was like the beginning of all of it, because then I did reach out to, was it Misty? I don't even remember who you connected me with initially.
Yeah, I think it must have been Misty, who was at that point running Single Mom KC. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was the director of the Single Mom KC. And so a couple of us went and had a meeting with her, and it just kind of went from there. And I at first was just interested in becoming a facilitator, which is just someone that works in small groups at some of the gatherings to kind of build some relationships with those moms and stuff. And I have actually gotten pretty involved in the organization now, which has been super cool. So, and I'll give you guys more information about that. But my heart for the single moms, the statistics are pretty shocking, especially in the Kansas City area. 63% of youth that commit suicide are in fatherless homes. 85% of children who have behavioral disorders. 90% of homeless runaway children are all fatherless. They're three times more likely to end up in jail before the age of 30. Hmm. And in Kansas City specifically, 46% of homes are single parent households, which that number was staggering to me. Wow. I had no idea.
46%?
46%.
Wow.
And these are my most recent statistics. So and just the poverty rate for single mom households is four times greater than a married couple household. Wow. And those are not very good statistics and not very good odds. And so, you know, the vision for the Single Mom KC is to kind of equip moms, to help them overcome some of those things to have a better future for their kids. So,
yeah. Can you go a little bit further on just the organization itself? I know we're highlighting you and your story and your connection to it, but just to give people like that are listening a scope of what it does, how you serve. Yeah,
for sure. I'll give you kind of like the vision and the mission and stuff, and then I'll go more specifically to like the things that they actually offer. So the purpose of the Single Mom KC is to change stories for the sons and daughters of single moms so fatherlessness won't plague our nation. Mm. And when they talk about fatherlessness, you know, they're trying to lead them to the father. And so that they realize that even though they don't have a father, they do have the father. And that can make all the difference, as we know. The vision for the Single Mom KC is we see communities of hope for single mother families and solid, stable, growing families to break damaging patterns. And so you will notice that a lot of these come from, you know, their moms were single moms, and it's definitely a cycle. And so kind of trying to give them the tools that they need to kind of break those cycles and do things differently for their own, for their kids, yeah. Just to kind of restore them to a better story and a better future.
Yeah. Yeah. I just remember in some of the initial conversations and a lot of what I get to do within Underground and Kansas City is just kind of make connections, you know, like, hey, Laura's got a passionate heart for single moms. Here's this group of people, mostly these group of ladies here that most of which are single moms, right? Mm-hmm. If I like the leadership.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, like just the fun connections, but also with that has come this like just networking idea in terms of what would it look like, which is a dangerous question. I love to start off questions like, what would it look like if the gospel just kind of like entered into that network and just went viral? Like what if we started to see, you know, single moms discipling single moms and discipling their in Kansas City of people who have shared stories. And so I know that that's something obviously that we talk about a lot in Underground, but I've seen you lean into that, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, I don't just want to do all the amazing things that you already described, you know, alleviate, help, restore, but it's also, it's like, I want to see disciples emerge. You know, I want to see micro churches mm-hmm. emerge out of this. And I don't think I prepped you for this question. So I'm throwing it out there. That's now. Okay. Is there like, can you speak to that at all? Even just like how those two visions kind of come together?
Yeah. So, and I'll kind of speak about like the things that I am involved in right now. One thing that we do is we do a meeting monthly that's called Pursuit. And we meet the first Wednesday of every month in two different locations. And at those gatherings, we have a chance to bring moms and their kids in. We feed them a good meal. And then we usually split off into separate groups where the kids go to some kind of a kids ministry to have a lesson while moms are also equipped in some way. And it was really cool because our gathering last month was actually coming alongside the single mom Casey came alongside the Casey Underground and did a little bit of the DBS, teaching them how to do the Discovery Bible Study, which was super cool. So of course our hope is that, you know, these moms will also, you know, get connected to other single moms. And, you know, if we could start some, you know, small DBSs out of these networks and stuff, that would be amazing to kind of equip these single moms to go out and spread the gospel to other single moms.
Absolutely.
You're looking at me, Corey.
Well, you just unmuted. So I was like,
you were looking at me like, you leaned in.
Yeah.
No, I just love hearing again, like Corey said, just the, you know, the highlights of the stories, because so much of our conversation sits up in theoretical stuff, and it sits in these spaces of, you know, we're all the, like I just said a minute ago, we're all the sent people of God. And it's like, well, let's talk about those specific stories, you know. And just to go back to what I was saying a minute ago, I didn't mean to sound crass or whatever, where it's like, hey, you could serve here, and if it doesn't fit you, good luck, you know. But it really is like, what you're describing is a deep sense of, this is my calling. Yeah. This is what I was made for. You know, it's part of my story. Yeah, go ahead. Cut me off.
Oh, I was just going to say, I just remember having a phone conversation with Corey and about this, and about the single mom Casey, and about actually finding that place where I had been so prayerfully like searching, like, where am I supposed to be? And I remember I hung up, and I'm probably going to cry right now. I hung up the phone with Corey, and I just started sobbing, because I just knew, I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, this is, you know, this wow. is it. And so I was just so excited, and just
oh yeah,
so like he just told me, like, yep, this is what I want for you, this is what I want you to do. And
so I remember hanging up the phone and putting my hands in the air, like, yes, like, because yeah. I was like, because I feel like there's this stirring between Single Mom KC and Underground for a while, and I'm just like, oh, there's this like-mindedness, there's this openness, and, you know, various people being a part of that story. And I loved it. And it is so fun to see what happened in your, like, in your story, where it's just like, oh yeah, God has me, like, this is it. You know, like, it's like this light bulb, like, yes, this is where he's called me. It's beautiful. And I was actually got an opportunity this morning to preach at a local church, and it was kind of around this subject of, that it's always like, it's generally insiders and quote unquote ordinary people, where movement and disciple making is really on the backs of those people. And not only are you allowed to be sent into this people that you came from, but you're actually the primary strategy. Mm-hmm. Like, that was like the Jesus way of doing it, is like the insider is the primary strategy to reach people. And it is just beautiful to actually see when obedience, you know, hits the ground running in someone's life, like your story, and to begin to see just the early fruit of what's happening in the single mom KC, and just so excited to see what could happen a few years from now, even.
Mm-hmm. Laura, can you, without like telling specific names and stories, like maybe a story or two that's like, man, this is the way I see God moving right now.
Like, absolutely. It's really pretty amazing because, you know, as a single mom myself, and I'm surrounded by a lot of the leadership team from the Single Mom KC, you know, ladies that have been there longer than I have, and the majority of them are single moms. There are very few people involved in the organization that have not been there, but the ones that haven't been there know that they're calling us to serve single moms. A lot of our moms on the leadership team are women that started out as those single moms, you know, the struggling, broken people that have, you know, gone through, you know, we have different workshops and things like that. One of them is called Victim to Victorious that we hold every 6 months or so. You know, they have gone through all of those things and they have, you know, grown as Christians and as moms, and, you know, they're now in the leadership position and they are the ones that are planning these things and making those things happen, which is just the coolest thing to think where they were and where they, the points that they have come to now. And, you know, just in our pursuit gathering and stuff, the moms that continue to come back and the ones that you have seen grow. We were, of course, doing online pursuit meetings and stuff, which was not the same. But now since we've actually gotten back to in person, it's probably been about 6 months or so to just see those moms consistently coming in to have those conversations and to just hear how in just 6 months time of being around them, how much they have grown as, you know, as moms, as Jesus followers and all those things, you know, it really is amazing.
Amazing, man.
It makes me think, Corey, too, this is a couple of spotlights in a row where it's like you see the full cycle of like, I was here and Jesus has me in the story. So James Mays in that story of being a part of Share the Hope early on to now leading in the network, and, you know, hearing Laura even now, just like these moms that are like, they've been there and now they're leading, and you see that like generational kind of move there.
Yeah. Like a few weeks ago when we were doing the DBS training with the ladies, the Single Mom KC group, that, you know, Laura said they meet in two places. So Laura and Bree kind of led one training, and that I felt like that was the varsity training. I ain't gonna lie. The JV training was me and John DeWitt, and it was pretty fun. But we went over Acts 16 and we looked at the story of Lydia, and I just remember it was so fun. I was just looking out to the crowd and I was like, I think there's a bunch of Lydias in this room, you know, a bunch of like powerhouse ladies who like God is going to use in a mighty way to bring people to Jesus. And you see that same thing with Lydia's story. It's like, you know, the whole, what you just said, Brian, is like, start following Jesus. And then, you know, we know that the book of Philippians was written really to that early story in Acts 16, where it's probably, she was a significant leader in that church, right? So it's like from the ground up, people who've been affected by it, they pour back into their own story. Their leaders are raised from the ground up, and then, yeah, multiplication happens. This is really cool.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, can I highlight a couple things that the single mom KC actually does? Like some specifics. Totally. So I know I mentioned the pursuit gatherings. Again, those are the first Wednesday of every month, providing dinner and some kind of programming for moms and kids. One of the really cool things that they have is they have a boutique called Clothed with Dignity, and it is open by appointment only, because basically what they want to do is to bring in a single mom and to just love on her and to show her the love of Jesus by providing things that she might need. They're literally coming in and shopping for free so they can get so many, you know, so many shirts, so many dresses, so many pants. They can get, you know, toiletries and accessories. And, you know, these are nice clothing items. It's not Goodwill. And so, and, you know, that's one of the first touch points for a lot of these moms, is to come into there and to just be loved on and to know that they're valued and that they're cared about and that, you know, Jesus loves them. And so that is a really cool thing. And that's one of the things that brings a lot of moms into the door initially. And then once they get in there and, you know, they see, and they can come in monthly, then they will get them to actually plug into some of the events like the pursuit and some of the other things like that. Another thing is one of the workshops that I attended, and I was actually going as like a facilitator, but I feel like I'm learning from these things as much as any of these moms are. It was called Victim to Victorious, and I was actually facilitating a group, and I was meeting with this lady. And, you know, she was sharing hers and then I was sharing mine and I just started crying. You know, I think I'm here for her, but like the growth in me through all of this is pretty amazing too. And and things that I'm like, oh yeah, I still need to work on those things, because I am still a single mom, even if my daughter is 23 and essentially raised. But so those are a couple of things that they offer, you know, as well as just, like I said, these moms that have been single moms that have moved through this leadership, you know, to develop lots of different skills. And I have to say, I don't know if it's okay if I say this, but it was really neat to be able to, we had our big fundraiser a couple weeks ago, and I got to present a check from Casey Underground to the single mom, Casey, and it was really amazing to be able to share that with them and, you know, show them that we support their vision of, you know, sharing the Father with all of these women and their children and their families, so.
Amen.
You can definitely share that, because we celebrate all of the people that give so generously and radically to support what we do in the city. Like, that money is given for that purpose, to support things that are bringing beauty and justice and good news. So,
amen. Yeah.
Hey, I've got a couple more questions, Corey. I don't know how long you wanted to go, but I know that you sent a few. So I'm going to pop a one. Let me give you one really tactical one first. So if people are listening to this and they're like, man, I feel a sense of calling in the same space. How do they get involved? Can they? Who do they get connected to in order to do that? Like, I don't want to just like sling that out there and be like, no one else can. But if there's a way for people to connect in meaningful ways, you know, that we could offer.
Yeah, for sure. The Single Mom KC most definitely has a Facebook page and a website that will get you to all of the things that you would need to know. I do believe that that is just thesinglemomkc.com. Let me check really quickly just to make sure.
Hear me typing in the background. I'm looking it up too. Boom, there it is.
Oh, thank you.
Got it. Yeah. So thesinglemomkc.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. So so much there. So you can immediately connect, look up all about the different leaders, the resources, partners, and the stuff for moms. Yeah, that's super cool.
And definitely like volunteer opportunities for anyone that would be interested in volunteering. There's a place to give on there. Of course, we're all we're a nonprofit, and so all of our money comes from donations from people. Like I said, we just had our big fundraiser, but you know, even donations for Clothed with Dignity, for those moms to be able to come in and shop without having to actually spend any of their money. So yeah, everything is on that website and about upcoming workshops and things like that. So that would definitely be the place to start.
Cool.
Yeah.
So second question, Corey, you leaned in.
Well, I was going to say, and Brian has another great question.
Yeah. Well, I just want to hear, like, you know, as a person that's discovering and discerning, continuing to lean into your calling, like, what would you say to the ordinary folk, the normal people out there who are like, okay, like, I see what's happening. You're discovering this thing. It's like, we can see your face and how much joy you have. Everybody else has to listen and get it. But so like, what do you say to ordinary people who are like, man, go find your calling? Like, I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, one, be patient, because I prayed for a long time before I got my final answer about what I was supposed to do. And I felt kind of hopeless and kind of like I didn't really have a place and that I wasn't being helpful and wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. Don't give up and just pray about it and just know that when it's time, you will know. There will not be any doubt that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. And just like I kind of mentioned before, that I did not feel equipped for what I'm doing. And sometimes you just have to put one foot in front of the other and take the first step and just trust that God is going to give you your next step, because I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew where my heart was. And, you know, I just trusted him to get me what I needed to take the next step. And it's been wonderful since then. And I know I've learned so much. I've stepped into uncomfortable opportunities that I never thought I would have, like being on a podcast for KC Underground, you know, speaking in front of people, like all kinds of things that I never thought that I would have done, kind of taking me out of my comfort zone. But if I can do it, then anyone can do it. And just know that God will equip you with whatever you need to minister to the people that you're supposed to be ministering to.
You preach it, Laura. That's what I'm talking about. No, seriously, that is so good. Thank you so much. Your story. I mean, seriously, it's awesome. It's inspiring. Like your answer to say, hey, be patient. I don't think we talk about that enough. I think we talk about, you know
she's like, no, y'all don't talk about that enough.
But the fact that you get to talk about it now and, you know, share your own story where it's like, you know, you just kept pressing in an obedience. That's the beauty of that story. You felt God's calling. It wasn't clear. You kept pressing into obedience. So thank you, Laura. And just really quickly, I want to nerd out on something. Just like if there are other leaders who are listening to this podcast, like this is a really, I hate to say strategy. It feels so impersonal, but a strategy of like, there are organizations, there are groups, there are people in the city that may, I don't know, specialize or lean into certain people groups that I actually think are really open to movement type of thinking. And so I call those people leaders of peace. It's like, we talk about finding people of peace from the harvest, but when we sat down with Misty a couple of years back, I mean, she was a leader of peace. She's like, oh, I'd love to see this happen, like in our network. So I just want to say that's a fun thing to think about as you're connecting with people who are looking for their calling. We're not just getting people plugged into other organizations, even though that's amazing. We're looking for like leaders of networks that are open to really cool movement stuff. So Laura, so excited about the things that God's doing in your life. Thank you for coming on. And that's what we got.
Of course. Yeah.
Stellar.
Thank you guys.
Peace. Ba-da-da-bump.
Thanks for listening to the Underground Podcast. We hope that it's either been an encouragement to you or that it's created a curiosity about what it means to live into a missionary mindset with an aim to make disciples and see the church emerge. If you're a missionary or a microchurch in Kansas City and you're looking for coaching or just belonging within a network, we'd love to connect with you so we can learn about what you are doing and how you are joining Jesus for gospel saturation in this city. If you're outside the Kansas City area and have questions about what it would mean to catalyze a disciple-making movement that leads to the emergence of microchurches in every network within your city, we'd love to connect with you as well and offer whatever resources might be helpful to you. You can find out more at kcunderground.com. Grace and peace, friends.